all that exclusive production like you hear it in the background. Go to beatsbysaid.com. When you need that industry sound for a reasonable price, go to beatsbysaid.com. Hey, yo, Sad, let's let them know. Turn up. Turn up. Beatsbysaid.com.
Do you want to be officially bossed up? Submit your info to BTMB Magazine PR at gmail.com. Get featured in the fastest growing lifestyle magazine catering to the underground and the well known. BTMB always delivers the latest entertainment news. Catch up on your favorite entertainer, fashion designer, singer, rapper, actor, or community hero. Bosses That Meet Bosses wants to shed positive light on your story. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at BTMB Magazine. To purchase your copy, visit madcloud.com/browse/BTMB Magazine. Bosses That Meet Bosses is where your story lives.
Oh, what up? What's happening? Welcome, everybody. K100 Radio. We're live right now. Let me get my camera up here. There we go. Facebook Live. What's happening? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the broadcast. I'm your host, Blizzard. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. I appreciate everybody for rocking with us over here. The number to dial in is 347-934-0966. Again, that's 347-934-0966. Hit us up. Welcome, everybody, checking us out on Instagram Live. Everybody checking us out on Facebook Live. We're here for another Direct Line interview. And today, I like doing my direct line interviews with people that who earn them through the grit, through the grind. You know what I'm saying? Now today we're doing a direct line interview with Elijah Kent, and Elijah Kent actually grinded his way to getting this interview right here on K100 Radio. So I'm going to go ahead and just welcome him to the broadcast real quick. Elijah, what's going on, bro? Welcome to the broadcast. What's happening?
Thanks, man. What's going on? Living the dream, man. Just
living the dream right now. I know. Well, I don't know if you call it the dream or if you call it the grind. You're living the grind right now because we want to make sure that we get everybody caught up to who you are and how'd you get here on K100 Radio. So let's go ahead and break that down. You dig?
Yeah, man. I've been rapping, making music, performing since I was 17. Started off, I'm 22 now, so about 6 years ago, I was just hitting every open mic possible, writing my music. I recorded my first mixtape. It was 30 songs in my closet, just doing it all myself. And just over the years, you know, I tried to perfect my craft. And Friday night was actually my second time at the bar exam. The first time I was there, they told me to pass the mic. So I was thrilled to come back and win it.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing about it, and let me just catch everybody up on what's going on, right? So, Elijah Kent is actually the winner of this month's bar exam. Now, the bar exam is a showcase that's here in Atlanta, Georgia, that's put on. It's held at Apache Cafe by Savage Fam Pro, and it's hosted by the homie Mike Sick. And we're sponsors of the event. So, as sponsors of the event, what we do is we interview the winner of the showcase, right? And this past week, I was actually a judge out there. And actually, I wasn't scheduled to be. Someone else supposed to be. I actually was a fill-in judge at the very last minute. Mike reached out to me, like, "You look out," and I was like, "Yeah, I can do that." So I pulled up, showing some love and support to my homie Mike Sick over there. And this competition at the bar exam is really intense. It's a mixture of judges and crowd participation. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a little say in what goes on and who goes on to the next round. There's four rounds. And then the final round, then the decision is made actually by the crowd. And it's called the bar exam. They have this thing where they pass the bar, pass the mic. Pretty much like the performance version of Ill or Kill that we do over here at K100 Radio. All right? So basically, if you think Ill or Kill, just do it Ill or Kill with a judge, with a few judges. but also performing. That's it, basically. That's why I like this. You know what I'm saying? So Elijah Kitt grinded his way through four rounds, ripped his performance. I was there. I give it up. He ripped his performance and stepped up and won. And it's crazy that he said before he didn't get past the mic the last time. I mean, he didn't get a pass. He got to pass the mic, and now he came back and won. So that's really big. I mean, he took that L, came back, and was like, "Yo, I got to come back and I got to keep my game up," and he did. So again, congratulations to him.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. So we're going to jump into some of your music and everything. But first of all, tell me about the big difference in between your performance and your preparation from the first time you set the bar to this time.
It was all about the song selection. I think that what my experience performing at Apache Cafe has in the past has been that they like real hip-hop, real, you know, lyricism, kind of more on that. Not, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not all about the old school vibe. You know, if you have a new, more modern sounding song that's really catchy and has a lot of energy, you can still win with that. But one of my strong suits is just spitting bars and just my wordplay and my flow, my lyrics. And the first time I did the bar exam, I was kind of, I guess, trying a little bit too hard to make a mainstream commercial sounding song, and it was more melodic than just straight spitting bars. And so they weren't
right.
feeling it because I'm not a trained singer. I mean, I got a nice voice. I can hold a pitch, but my strong suit is just, you know, rapping. And that's what I did this time around. And that's why I won.
So basically you went back to basics and you went back to what you know and what you're good at, basically. And that's how you won.
Yeah,
so you were trying to experiment the first time. Is that what you were you trying to, let me ask you this. Were you trying to conform to what you thought people wanted to hear because we're in Atlanta and, you know what I'm saying? That's what the vibe is and kind of situation like that right there.
Yeah, a little bit of that. I was also, like you said, it was kind of an experiment. That was the first time I'd ever performed that song. It was called Dominoes, and it had a melodic hook, and it's a dope song, but I guess it was probably a combination of me trying to make something that, you know, people would like rather than just doing something that I think is dope. And also just that being the first time I performed that song, it wasn't as refined as What Are the Odds, which is a song I won with, and I had a lot more experience performing that song.
Exactly. So I guess the lesson that you could take from it is always just put your best foot forward and your strongest where you're most comfortable at in any situation. And then if you want to experiment or whatever, it's cool. But I think the lesson here will be for anybody, for any artist, to just say, hey, give them you first, give them what you really do great first. And then if they love you, then you can experiment a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Some people don't do it that way. There's been a lot of artists who I know personally for a fact have came out with certain kind of songs because they thought it fit the mold, and they blew up off that song, but it really wasn't what they really liked, but they were kind of stuck to a lane they really didn't want to be in because they came out a certain kind of way. So you can always be a little bit tricky when you're doing that. You feel what I'm saying? So anyway,
yeah,
tell
man,
us
I feel you.
Tell us, I got a couple of questions for you, but tell us about what you got going on right now with your music. Like, are you got a project coming out or anything like that? Singles? What's up?
I just dropped a mixtape called The Chronicles, and it's not yet on iTunes. It will be soon. I produced 4 of the 6 songs that were on the CD, and so pretty much at this point, I'm just, if you catch me at shows, I'll have it on me, and I'll be, you know, passing it out for a small contribution. February 24th, when I'll be doing the set as a featured artist at the next bar exam, I'll have that CD. And in the meantime, if you want to hear the songs on it, 4 of the 6 songs are on my SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/EKTheRapper. So you can get like a sneak peek of what's on the CD, and then you can get the full CD when you come see me perform. And soon I'll be putting it on all the streaming sites so people can purchase it.
All right. Well, sound like you got a plan. You sound like you got the grind going. Now, I want to ask you this: how does it bode for you, and how does it pan out, and how do you feel like you're accepted being one of the few actually Jewish rappers that I actually know personally out here in Atlanta that's really grinding? Do you feel the acceptance for what you're doing in your community? And your family, I seen that your family, the crazy thing was your moms was out there supporting you. Moms was like chilling, you know what I'm saying? And she was like, she had a good time supporting her son, man. I was like, wow. And, you know, you just don't see that often. You don't see that often with, you know, you don't really see it often really with anybody's mom, you know, after they get to a certain age. You know what I'm saying? So I was kind of surprised to see that, but that she came out to support you. But how do you feel like that? How does it feel, you know, being in Atlanta? You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, kind of a predominantly black landscape, but hip hop itself is actually rapidly changing. And, you know, rappers that aren't black are really, really accepted, kind of commonplace now. How's that journey been, being an artist and being a Jewish artist, basically a white rapper, what they were called, but you're not white. That's, what do you feel about that?
Well, I've definitely had some experiences that have been, you know, part of my grind getting to this point, being a white rapper in a predominantly black culture. So one time, probably a couple years ago, I performed at Apache Cafe, and once again, I selected. I have a vast variety of material. I've recorded probably over 70 songs over the past 6 years of all different styles. Some of them trap, some of them hip hop. You know, just trying to find what my sound is and really find my voice. And I performed this song called Gigolo, the host of the show, like, they shut my music off, and they, like, it's for me as a white rapper, it's like, and I prize myself as being kind of similar to Eminem. He's a huge inspiration of mine, and my lyrics are controversial and sometimes twisted, and they're not politically correct at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really good at, I can be very aggressive, and sometimes people don't take that well. And sometimes I guess I didn't intentionally, because, I mean, I'm Jewish, you know, like, Jews and black people have a lot in common if you trace our history. I said, you know, I guess one of the lyrics that I said in the song, kind of people were offended by it. So they told me to, you know, she kind of like tried to humiliate me on stage, and I felt like I was discriminated against, you know. So I've had that experience at Apache Cafe. And, it was really kind of embarrassing, but, you know, I didn't let it break my confidence. I came back and I just tried to figure out, you know, what was more appropriate for that kind of crowd, because that same song I performed in East Atlanta to a different demographic, and they loved it, and they were all dancing, and they weren't offended at all by the record. So
let me say this. I can tell you without even really knowing what the song was, I can tell you, you definitely got to be, I wouldn't tell anybody to not be themselves, but let's just be 100 with it. You definitely got to be, careful with what you say when you're, you know, doing hip hop and you're not black. You know what I'm saying? Some people think that, you know, it's okay to say everything that black people, say. And to me and pretty much most people, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Some people get comfortable, even if it's how you talk around your actual friends, doesn't necessarily mean it's a good idea to put it in a song. And it's definitely maybe not be a good idea to do it while you're on stage in a club in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't care what part. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could turn all the way bad for you. I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? But
I think that's
really important. You know what I'm saying? It's really important that you recognize that. But see, here's the thing about what you said. And it's funny because you pointed out two distinct demographics in Atlanta. You pointed out Midtown and East Atlanta. And then, of course, I'm pretty sure if you did that same song on the South Side, you probably would have had a rough time getting up out of there. You know what I'm saying? So, again, it's good. The song that you did that you won, this is my first. That was my first introduction to you. So that song was dope. It was like, it wasn't anything controversial about that. You just came there and spit some bars to a dope ass beat, and it was a rap. You know what I'm saying? And you won. So.
Yeah.
All this other stuff that you're talking about is funny. That's the shit I wish I would have been there to see. You know what I'm saying? I wish I was there to see that part of it pan out, just because I like, because of the drama of it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know exactly what happened. You said that happened at the Apache Cafe, and I guess it depends on the funny thing about it is that you actually recognized that. I was like, you know what? Let me just, you know, I guess maybe tone it down a little bit. I guess that was a decision that you made. I don't know. I guess maybe it was a good decision. You still came back and won the bar exam at the same venue, though, which is crazy that you said that happened at the cafe. So it's
yeah.
Your history at that place is a lot more extensive than I realized. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
For real.
Yeah, I've had. I mean, when I was 17, I won. And this is the second time at Apache that I've won the first place. I mean, it's the first time I won the bar exam, but there's, when I was 17, I won first place in the Showtime at the Apollo hosted by Miss Dia.
Right.
So it's like I've had some really good experiences at Apache, and I've had two really bad experiences there.
Mm. Well, you back. You back on top again,
yeah.
Ass. Right now,
yeah.
The current ranked champ of the bar exam, and then you got a featured set coming up next month as being the winner of that. You got this interview on K100 Radio. I'm pretty sure people are sitting down right now listening, who was ever checking this out, like, let me hear some of the music, then I got to hear this shit. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody out right now on Facebook Live. Oh, I see JC Walker checked in. You know what I'm saying? She actually wrote a pretty good article about the bar exam that night. You guys should check that out. Maybe she shared the link inside of the Facebook Live feed. See my homie Kevin Lamar on there. DJ Owens checking in. Big up to everybody that's checking us out. A couple people over here checking us out over on Instagram Live, too. All right, so let's jump into some of the music, then we'll get back into this conversation, because it can go deep. It can get pretty deep. It's already 15 minutes flew by that quick, bro. Like, bam, already 15 minutes gone. You know what I'm saying? Just talking about that. But we'll get into some more stuff. K100 Radio. I'm your host, Blizzum. We got some music by Elijah we get ready to bring on. All right? I got, let me see. I'm going to let you pick which one you want to rock with first. We got two songs. We got a song called Story and another one called Love Me. Which one of these you want people to check out for you?
Story.
Story. All right, tell us about that one.
Yeah. Story is pretty much, it's a biographical story about my past struggles with addiction, about being a single father. I have a 3-year-old son, Judah, and that song is pretty much dedicated to him and how I've, you know, how he's helped me to grow up and become a just grow up, you know, fast. And it's some stuff about in there about how I met his mother. And I mean, it's a real personal song, but I think it's really dope and really gives people an idea personally who I am as a person.
Well, you always want to have those. The funny thing is, I was listening. I read your bio and I'm reading it, and I'm like, yeah, addiction. Got a baby mama, being a single father, working. I said, if I didn't look at his picture, I wouldn't know that he's not black. You know what I'm saying? That's really
right. I mean, I fit the typical description. Right.
That's really racist of me, of my own people, to say that, isn't it, y'all? But that shit was funny. All right. So here's Story by Elijah. All right, we're gonna check it out, and we're gonna hear these bars. And you know, what I'm saying, hear what he brings to the table real quick. First time on K100 Radio. Go check it out right now, man. This is Elijah Kent, winner of the bar exam.
Yeah.
Let's join this call, Story.
Yes, sir.
You are tuned to the K100 Radio, hip hop and R&B.
Yeah. I go by the name of Elijah. This the art of storytelling. Like it's been told to me before. By many of the greats. Check me out, this my fate. Yo, I'm a product of a father who thought he could walk on water. Mother was an Al-Anon crazy credit card. Carter started off with sanity, innocent as a dog sucker. See the catastrophe when he got high with his older brother. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. He just wanted to be cool and well respected. Dreamed of being rich and famous, even well connected. Rebellious dropout, not what his parents suggested. In the grips of a disease he wouldn't even question. Never found an answer, but he found a solution. Needed to support his habits, started distributing. Taken from society, but never contributing. Down the spiral staircase, optical illusion. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Dreams of music wanted to get signed like Constitution. Trying to fill a void, but in his heart he felt confusion. Isolated from the world, he knew what he was doing. Thought life was a race he had to win, but he was losing. He thought he knew it all, not a soul could change him. gym. Started hanging out with thugs, breaking in the basements. Betraying the only one that loved them to get wasted. And eventually, everyone had given up their patience. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Got caught, almost locked up. Parents bailed him out. Sent him to rehab to try to get his problems figured out. There he met a girl who had developed from a young sprout. Not a clue what wasn't sorry. Listen, as she ran him out. The things that she would talk about, he could relate to. Months later, brought her flowers, asked her on a date too. Went to Benihana, volcano erupt in front of you. In denial of the effects of what she's been through. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. The length of his obsession of her pleasure couldn't measure. But she had so many exes marked the spot of every treasure. Couldn't relieve the thought of her 2 years sober. Then she relapsed and like that his sobriety was over. Everyone he told about it said, I thought I told you. He said, fuck the world, I carried it on my own shoulders. Yo kicked out the house, exactly what her parents told her. So he took her life into his hands and became the owner. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Put his music dreams on hold, too distracted. Had to find a place to live, moving with some crackheads. Cat feces on the floor, bed stained with ashes. Smoking on probation, that's himself, am I an addict? Deep in the relationship and deep inside the body with no condoms and no birth control. He started to worry. 90 days later, the period came abnormally. Told him she was pregnant and was about to be a mommy. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. His heart dropped right through his stomach. Fatherhood was not the plan, nor was it an option. Thinking about abortion, even meeting with adoption. 19 and homeless, they had to start plotting. In no position to offer a child anything. And knew in his heart, never give her a diamond ring. Resentment towards a girl and child, they began to grow. The relationship got petty bought and it was no joke. One time a neighbor was fighting through his stash in the trash can. They got all that money, so he hit her with a backhand. Seconds later, realized he had given her a black eye. She came back for more, the drama made them both feel alive. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. See, he didn't have it in him just to be a deadbeat. After all, he had a good father, never from the street. But had street dreams, insane thinking. Unrealistic expectations led him to drinking. Oh, how things changed in both their lives. Once they had enough of the fighting and all the lies, they finally decided to go their separate ways. In the child's best interest, but believe you gotta pay. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Who's using who? Sometimes hard to tell. I'm broke, do all my change in the wishing well. Managing addiction, still in denial. Secondhand smoke exposed it to her own child. Being adopted and rejected by your father influenced a few views. Could never respect the elders. Best friend to strip a new boyfriend, a doper. Stole part of the apartment till he broke up with her. Now she all alone again. Find a way to pay the rent. Another guy hanging around. She said he's just a friend. Who's using who? Sometimes all the time. I'm broke.
You are tuned to the K100 Radio, hip hop and R&B.
I'm your host, Blizzom. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. I had to turn my mic back up. That was Elijah Kent. Let me get my background music back going. That was the homie Elijah Kent, and he was riding that track, man. He was going all the way in, man. Welcome back to the broadcast. We are live right now. Our direct line interview with the winner of the bar exam, Elijah Kent. That was a song called Story. He had bars and bars for days. He was going and going on that joint. That song was that song is long, bro. Shit.
Yeah, that song is 5 minutes, man. I produced it myself.
A solid 5 minutes, too. Like a solid 5 minutes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Real talk, man. That's what's up, man. What's going on?
Yeah, man. My story takes time, you know?
I know, right? You know what I'm saying? All well, right. You know, we got another one that we're going to get ready to play in a little bit. A couple people checking
for
in.
Sure.
Shout out to everybody watching us over here on Instagram Live. Who is that? Sloppy Joe checking in. What's going on? What's happening, man? K100 Radio, we're based in Atlanta. Someone's asking us over on Instagram Live. We're in Atlanta. If you want any information, hit us up, K100Radio.com. The link is in our bio. Shout out to the homie Elijah Kent, man. He just rode that joint. We got one more, but we run out of time. That song was so long, like shit. But we're going to play the other one, Love Me Too, also in a minute. But anything that you want to say to the people about your music and anything else you got coming up? I know you got a video out, too. I saw that. Tell them about that.
Yeah, I got a video on YouTube called Birth of a Tyrant. It's if you just type in on YouTube, Birth of a Tyrant EK, stands for Elijah Kent. That was a video I shot at Constitution Lakes during Halloween. It was kind of like a haunted, dark theme. It just shows my dark, twisted side. Like I said, Eminem has been a huge inspiration of mine. So some people say, "Oh, you remind me of him," and I take that as a huge compliment. I mean, I have like this next song, "Love Me," definitely has a different vibe. So I have my own, you know, style of my own that makes me my own artist. But like I take it as a compliment when people say, and I've heard that video, "Birth of a Tyrant," reminds them of, you know, brings them back to the Slim Shady kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, people, you got to make sure everybody checks it out. Maybe you want to holler at us about our new video review that we got coming up next week. You can get with me on that. We've got information about that. We're doing a video review, just kind of same way that we're doing our music reviews. So that's going to be coming out next week. So definitely get with us on that. You know what I'm saying? If it's already done, you know, we can running over there. So, you know, we'd love to have it over there. You know what I'm saying? It's a new platform, a new thing that we're doing over at K1's Radio. So anyway, let me ask you about the experience that night at the bar exam. Like, tell me about that night, the vibe that you was getting. Did you feel like you was going to win while you was looking at some of the other competition? What was going on in your head while you was getting ready to come on the stage?
Man, I was just cool, calm, and collected. I had my mom and my brother there, so I felt, you know, I had the utmost support. I knew that I was ready. I had rehearsed the song a lot, and I based on my past experience performing that song and winning first place at Showtime at Apache, I knew that that was a crowd pleaser. And I just think I'm a really, really talented, gifted rapper. And I think all the open mics and showcases I do, to be honest, I think that I'm always the best there. And I don't think there's usually no competition.
Well, hey, if you don't fucking believe in you, goddamn it, nobody will. But yeah, you had to. I'm being seriously. Like, you gotta. There's an air of arrogance that you have to have in order to be an artist, in order to be successful, especially in hip hop. Hip hop is super competitive. I mean, you got this interview because you were the best competitor that night at that event. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you. Yeah. Oh, shout out to my homie Lil Donald just checked in, man, over there on Instagram Live. Shout out to the homie Lil Donald, man. Lil Donald's making moves, bro. Shout out to you, man.
What's up, Lil Donald? I know about Lil Donald.
Yeah, Lil Donald, you know what I'm saying? He's over there, man. Shout out to the homie, man. He just checked in over there on Instagram Live and gave us a shout out, man. He says, appreciate the support, man. Of course, man, we got you. Hold you down, man. And again, congratulations on all your success, homie. You feel me? So, I mean, but back to Elijah Kent. Listen, when you was there that night, and don't get me wrong, I felt like the right person won. There's been some times at the bar exam where I felt like the person that I felt like I was the best artist that night didn't necessarily win. Although the person that I like always ends up in that final round, and then that's where it gets tricky at the bar exam, because then you interject the crowd into it, and you can finesse the crowd if you bring enough people with you. You can finesse that crowd, that final crowd. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So there's been times where I felt like the best artist didn't win, but that's because a part of that experience is bringing in your support, and you got to have supporters, and you brought some people with you. But sometimes people come to the bar exam 20 deep. The whole back of the damn building is one artist. And the trick to that is, though, they have to make it to the final round in order for that to. Now, I've seen people come in there with like a whole bunch of people, but they weren't good enough to make it to the final round. So the crowd judge really didn't matter because they never did get to the last round. And I've seen a dope motherfucker come in there one deep and lose to somebody who had a bunch of people in there that really wasn't that dope. So it's tricky. I like the setup, though. I love it. You know what I'm saying? But that night, when you won, I felt like you were the best artist that night who really ripped the stage and had a great record. Where is that? What about that record anyway? We don't even have that record that you did that night. What was the name of that one again?
Yeah, it's called "What Are the Odds." I took that offline because I linked up with my brother and his boy who has some experience in the music, and they were managing me for a couple months. Things didn't work out just because we had some creative differences. In that couple months, they suggested that I take all my stuff, all my music, like off Reverb Nation and SoundCloud, so we can rebrand and have a hard launch with the new stuff. That didn't wind up happening, so now I'm kind of gradually dropping all that material. But "What Are the Odds" was one of the songs on my first mixtape, Future Trippin', that I recorded in my closet. So production value of that is not so good. So it's a great song to perform live, but part of my prize was I won a session at Salem Psalm Studio. So I'm gonna re-record "What Are the Odds" with AJ. I'm pretty sure it's happening this Friday, and then I'm gonna drop that.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely want it to be 100 as far as, you know, the quality. You know, you can kind of get away with it a little bit when you lie, because what you did do and what actually won, to me, what actually why you won the bar exam and why you got this interview is because you had such a strong vocal performance, and you wasn't really rapping over your vocals like that. You kind of, you know, so if it was a problem with the mix on your vocals or anything, we wouldn't really know, because you actually did your vocals, you know, live like you're supposed to do when you perform live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it was a straight instrumental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, so you can get away with it as opposed to somebody's trying to rap over something, that rap over vocals, and then the song ain't even mixed and mastered on top of that, which makes everything just completely worse. You know what I'm saying? So, again, congratulations.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
I think for the mix of the record is super important to me. That's why I took that song down, and that's why I'm going to re-record it and have, you know, super dope engineer master it, and then I'm going to put it on iTunes and on Facebook and shoot a video for it and really promote it. So that'll be happening in the next month.
Okay. Well, actually, the mix and master should be important to everybody, not just you. And that's the problem with a lot of hip-hop. It ain't important enough to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Some people just act like they want to skip that particular part. You know what I'm saying? Or take the cheap route. It was a couple of people that lost that probably had really great records that could have competed with you tonight, but they had bullshit mixed in and mastering. And so it kind of hurt their whole overall chances of beating you. And you came out on top with the win. All right, we got one more song by you. Tell me about Love Me, too.
Love Me is more of a smooth, softer approach. Me kind of talking about the struggles of becoming a dad at 19 years old and having to pretty much accept that, you know, my grind with music is about to become a lot harder because I got a child to raise and I got to work every night and I got to really balance all these things in order to make this happen. And that song is pretty much just me writing how I feel about it. And the hook is, you can love me, but you can't love yourself. You know, it's kind of like a real message that a lot of people are addicted to relationships and being with somebody, but they don't even know who they are themselves. That's why so many relationships fall apart. And that's why mine fell apart. So it's just my reflections on that experience.
All right. Well, let's check this last one out before we get ready to ride out. This is Elijah Kent, winner of the bar exam for January 2017. Shout out to Mike Six, Savage Fan Pro, my homie DJ Knotts. Hip-hop gives back and all that good stuff. One more for you from Elijah Kent. Check it out. Love Me Too.
You are tuned to the K100 Radio, hip-hop and R&B.
Is the same anymore. Mr. Creaks in the floor when you creep in the door. Trying to make my house a home, but I'm here all alone with a bottle and a bump, staring at the phone. And I know things didn't turn out the way that we hoped for. And I hope you can forgive me for leaving you loose. Ain't gonna hurt you anymore. What you searching for? What's my purpose when we flirt and leave you on the floor? Yes, I'm certain that you worth it, baby. Finally found you like the pack that I've been searching for. Smoking back to back to back just like a connoisseur. Yeah, I only fuck with green like a herbivore. Then I proceed to eat you up like a carnivore. Them others full of shit just like cow manure. Yeah.
Love me. Say you love me, but you don't love yourself. Don't judge me. You can fool me, but you can't fool yourself. So I try so hard, time and time again. Just what I want, and it ain't a friend.
say you love me. Say you love me, but you don't love yourself. Don't judge me. See, you can fool me, but you can't fool yourself. So I try so hard, I've been tired again. You know just what I want, and it ain't a friend. I can see we meant to be. Now our love is dead, baby, rest in peace. Now it's dead like leaves on the trees when they fall off. You ought to call them instead. I called off. Sick of being stuck at 4 a.m. up at my job, working for that paper for daycare. I pray it pays off. In a rush to get to work on an 8, it was a hot dog. Hear my stomach growling, I'm feeling this high wearing off. I want to take this fake smiling mask and tear it off. Drop on my man in this fucking house with a flaming mouth off. Dreaming mouth off. Yeah, I'm high again. In a crowded room, without a single friend. With a broken heart and a bit of mind. But for Judah, I stay strong, the heart of a lion. The most important, blowing, I'm never dormant. I'm showing up and recording, you paying when I'm performing. No, you can't ignore them. Never needed a thesaurus to figure out the course. Pass you in the Porsche, like,
love me. Say you love me, but you don't love yourself. Don't judge me. You can fool me, but you can't fool yourself. So I try to hold time and time. You love me. Say you love me, but you don't love yourself. Don't judge me. See, you can fool me, but you can't fool yourself. So I try so hard, time and time again. You know just what I want, and it ain't a friend. I can see we meant to be. Now our love is dead, baby, rest in peace.
You are tuned to the K100 Radio, hip hop and R&B.
Yeah, that one was dope. That one was dope right there. That was Elijah Kent. Dope record, bro.
Appreciate
I like
it, man.
That. I'm throwing that one in rotation. I fuck with that one. It's a dope record, homie.
I appreciate it.
All right. I like that. Shout out to the homie. This is our direct line interview. We're getting ready to conclude this one with Elijah Kent. Real quick, bro, give them all your information and tell them where they can find your music. Tell them where they can find that song, all your social media info, everything. Go ahead.
All right. You can find my music on Instagram at @ElijahKent_ATL. That's ElijahKent_ATL. It's Facebook.com/EKTheRapper and SoundCloud.com/EKTheRapper. And just YouTube, Birth of a Tyrant, EK. That's the music video. And that's where you can find my music.
All right, man. Y'all go hit him up. Make sure you connect with him, man. Again, he was the winner of the bar exam this past month. Shout out to Mike Sick and Savage Fan Pro over there. Everybody, DJ Knots, everybody over there. That's a really dope event. You need to check those guys out and try to see how you can be a part of it. We're a K1 Radio sponsored event. If you go to the top and you make it all the way through, this is what you get. This is one of your prizes, an interview on K1 Radio. All right, man, salute you, bro. Keep grinding. All right, you dig?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, Blizzin.
Absolutely, man, for sure.
All right, take it easy, bro.
Now, y'all don't go nowhere, though. Y'all pause, pump your brakes. I got somebody on the line in a second. We're going to come right back. I'm going to run one commercial to set this up, and we'll be right back. Maybe two commercials. Y'all don't go nowhere. All right, y'all sit back and kick it. I'm going to be chopping it up with the homie, the OG. Oops, my bad. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry about that, y'all. That wasn't supposed to come on yet. It's supposed to come on in a second. I'm going to be chopping up with the homie, the Connect himself, right? And if you know who I'm talking about, you know this is going to be good. You know what I mean? You know this is going to be good because I love chopping it up with the homie on Facebook Live. Sometimes we have some industry debates, but we definitely always try to show love and give back and give out some game. But y'all, pause right there. Don't go nowhere. In 1 minute, we'll be right back with the homie Tony Guidry. Stand by.
Do you want to be officially bossed up? Submit your info to BTMB Magazine PR @gmail.com. Get featured in the fastest growing lifestyle magazine catering to the underground and the well-known. BTMB always delivers the latest entertainment news. Catch up on your favorite entertainer, fashion designer, singer, rapper, actor, or community hero. Bosses That Meet Bosses wants to shed positive light on your story. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at BTMB Magazine. To purchase your copy, visit madcloud.com/browse /BTMB Magazine. Bosses that meet bosses is where your story lives.
Let go. This is a shout out to all rappers, R&B singers, entertainers, beatsbyzen.com. If you're looking for that exclusive production like you hearing in the background, go to beatsbyzen.com. When you need that industry sound for a reasonable price, go to beatsbyzen.com. Hey, yo, Zed, let's let them know. Turn up. Beatsbyzen.com. BEATSBYZED.com.
All right. Let's get into it, shall we? What's happening? K100 Radio again. I'm your host, Blizzard. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. Now. Let's bring my folk on real quick. I'm on the phone. We connected. We connected all over the world. We connected everywhere. But right now, we on the line with the Connect himself. OG, man.
Yo, what's up, Blizzard?
What's going on, man? What's happening with you, bro?
Man, I can't call it, bro, working, you know, trying to get this job done, trying to break the artists, get these folk heard. You know how it go.
I know you got your mission over there, but we got to talk about everybody who's off mission right now. We're going to try to get everybody back on mission. We're going to tell everybody about your mission, and we're going to go ahead and salute to you real quick, homie. Let's get it. Do me the solid to go ahead and introduce yourself to our listening audience. Would you please, sir?
Yes, sir. Well, my name is Tony Guidry, a.k.a. I Am The Connect. I'm on all social media, IamTheConnect.com. I got the nickname The Connect for working real hard and meeting new people to help these artists get broken. Primarily, what I do is I try my best to marry the newer techniques of digital promotion, along with the steadfast traditional techniques of grassroots marketing to help independent artists create an income for themselves. So that's primarily my goal and function. You won't see me in a bunch of pictures. You won't see me in nobody videos. But I work real hard in the background trying to make sure that these artists get heard and seen and make some money.
Exactly, which is... It's everybody's goal, right? It's everybody's goal at the end of the day to be able to make money off something that they love to do. That's like the perfect life. If everybody has this life goal, this life aspiration, of course it would be to just get paid for doing whatever it is that you really love to do, whether it's shooting the basketball, whether it's rapping, I don't know, whether it's sex, whatever it is you love to do, you want to get paid, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? So the homie right here has some pointers and some tips that he can help you out. Now, the problem, let's jump into a couple of things, OG, the Connect. First of all, right now, I'm gonna ask you to drop some jewels. I know you don't do this often. I'm not gonna delete this. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually gonna promote it. You know? I know you like to give jewels out and be like, nigga, if you weren't there, fuck it. Too late. Sorry. Bye. Gone. You missed it. You fucked up. But I can't take that approach. So tell me right now. An artist comes up to you, and I know if you decide not to just like cuss them out or anything. You know what I'm saying? You actually want to be nice today, and you want to give them some advice. What's the first thing you're going to tell an artist who comes up to you and say, hey, man, I've got some music recorded. It's done. Let me just say off top, some artists are not going to have this done. But let's just assume this artist comes to you in a professional manner. He has a nice record. What's the first thing you're going to tell this guy to do?
The very first thing I'm going to tell him to do is, the first thing I'm going to ask him, first I'm going to ask him a question. If he comes and says, hey, Tony, man, hey, OG, man, I got this record. I put my all into this record. I got it mixed and mastered properly. I'm ready to move forward with growing the record, and I really want to get it out there. And he comes to me with this statement and says, what do I need to do to get my music out there? Okay, the first thing that I'm going to tell him is, if you want your music out there, then you got to get out there with your music. That's the first thing I'm going to tell him. Now, from a business perspective, I'm also going to ask him, what are your goals for this record? What do you expect to happen when you release this record? And as soon as he mentions money or shows or sales or streams, I'm going to ask him, how does he plan to do that? And with 99 times out of 100, he's going to say, I don't know. And
right.
I'm going to tell him that he needs to learn what it takes to make the music make money. And so, and this is why I fall out with the majority of artists, because there's no simple solution. There's no simple answer. There are only suggestions and tests and experiments based on past successes that an artist can do. So when my very first suggestion always to an artist is to be more outgoing with their music and make sure that they're out and about as much as possible, reaching the people who are most likely to like their music, and along with that, to learn how the money is made in the music industry. And that's just, it's, from my experience, artists got this aversion to being knowledgeable. They don't care how anything works. They just want to be on stage. And so it's just so important that people understand how this business works. Because once you know how it works, you don't need to be a platinum-selling artist. You don't need a major record label. Once you understand how this works, you know, a couple thousand fans will have you making as much money as a doctor or a lawyer or whoever else. Really, have you making as much money as some of your favorite artists who tied into these record deals, picking up 2 or 3% of what they make.
Right, exactly. I think the one thing, one thing that you said is really, I guess, important for people to understand is that you said that you're going to try to get them to the money, right? And I understand that, but you mentioned that, well, look, you're going to ask them, okay, why do you want to do it? What do you want to do it for? And all this kind of stuff. And I understand that too. But when you say, well, if they say, find your demographic, find the people that will like your music, and that's what you said. I think maybe that probably was one of the key things. Me personally, I'm starting to see this thing, and I know you see it, and it's not me personally. I'm pretty much sure everybody sees this, where artists keep trying to do what they think somebody else's fans will like instead of doing what they actually like themselves. And to me, that's what's failing right now in hip-hop. Now, it's working for some people, but at the same time, it's also failing as a whole. And I see a lot of people not actually heeding that one thing that you just said, find people that will like your particular brand of music. Because right now, we have a whole bunch of people that are just basically making music that they feel somebody else has already made, right? And then trying to tap into that person's demographic and that person's fan base instead of just making their own. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think at their own detriment. You know what I'm saying? I think that if you lock down your own thing, like we talk all the time, and me and you've had numerous conversations about the new age rappers, what people want to call them or whatever, and you know how I feel about certain music, but how I've also had to evolve as a program director, right? And say, well, I understand that I may not like that, but I understand other people like it, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, being disrespectful to the culture and to the people who came before you, who paved the way, that's one thing. But the music itself, it is what it is. But those guys have indeed found a lane. They found people who like their music, and they're winning right now. But what are you going to say to an artist that comes up sounding just like an artist that you know for a fact this sound is already out there? You've heard it before, but this guy feels it's hard to tell this artist that's not going to work because he's seen it work repeatedly for other people. How would you dissuade that? What would you say to the, or would you actually encourage him to say, hey, man, ride the wave and keep going?
Okay, well, I never suggest riding the wave, ever. Okay.
Okay.
That's not the I speak a lot on the business and everything, but and it's like I jump past the basic foundation with it. You got to have great music.
Right.
So you got to have great music. Every time, and you know, there are instances, I could be proven wrong, but every time there's a breakout hit record, it doesn't sound like the last hit record.
Right.
The copycat records are never great hit records. An artist creates or crafts a sound, whether it's a Future or Amigos or whoever, they craft the sound, and a lot of people try to jump on that bandwagon and follow that same flavor or sauce, and they may see some success. But those songs never really break or establish an artist. The songs that break and establish an artist and that are that end up being great records and monumental records, they don't have a similarity to what was hot 3 months ago or 6 months ago. And also, a part that a lot of indie artists got to understand is when they hear the song right now on the radio, that song might have been made a year ago. That song might have been made 9 months ago. And so when you're copying something that an established artist created a year ago that's being pushed now, that established artist is right now crafting next year's sound in the studio, and you're copying last year's stuff, you're going to take you 6, 7, 8 months to get it heard. You're going to be 2 years behind when you're pushing this record. You're going to be using a lingo and a language and a slang that's really played out. If you try to follow, there's no way to follow and catch up because the promotional plan for these records, they always follow after the creation of the record is months and months and months. These songs aren't made on Monday, released on Tuesday, and hit by Friday. It's
right,
Friday.
Right.
So, and so, exactly. Yeah, so artists got to really have that integrity and that honesty with themselves and create what's within them. That's the core of the art form. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at judging that. I hate listening to dudes' music and giving them my opinion because I like what I like. And, you know, I don't envy you as a PD because I know that you're forced to play records that you hate or that you really don't like because the public does like them and you cater to the public to a certain extent.
Right, right, so, right. Here's the thing. Let me say this about that. And here's where we've had numerous debates on social media about. Again, if I really, really, really hate a record, I'm not playing it. At some point, you have to have a level of creative control over your platform. Me personally, you feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Now,
right.
I've come to a space. You know what I'm saying? Where I can live with a certain level of stuff that I'm just not that I know for a fact, and everybody else knows that I wouldn't necessarily ride around bumping it. Like I would never download their album per se. It would never be on my personal playlist, but I can understand why lots of people like the record, and I can add it to our rotation as such. But if I really, really, really just don't like a record, there's nothing anyone can really do to make me put that record on. You feel me? Like in some songs, a certain artist that I just completely just soon as I see him, if I see him in a record pool or whatever, I just ignore it. I just like I'm not playing it. I never downloaded it in the first place to even tempt myself to want to do that. Now here's the thing about that is. With what we do over at K100 Radio, and you know, those songs still get played and still get spins hits from K100 Radio because the DJs are still going to play what they vibing to and what the streets is vibing to and what the club is vibing to. So no matter what, certain kind of songs as a program director that may not even hit our rotation will still end up getting played on K100 Radio at some point because the DJs on our broadcast, they spin what they want. I don't do anything. I don't control any part of the mix shows. That's their creative space. That's what it is. So artists are still going to get played in songs that I really hate at some point still get on K100 Radio. And I mean, I literally hate. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So there's that part to contend with. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. So, listen, I feel what you're saying about the time it takes for a song to actually pop, which brings me back to this question and something else I want to ask you about radio. Let's jump into radio promotion, right? And what you personally know, what a real live FM radio campaign entails, what it takes. Can you give the people a little bit of game about what it really takes to actually break a record on FM radio nationwide?
Okay. Let me preface this by saying this, bro. I've never been a part of a nationwide campaign, and this is why. It's too expensive. Okay. All right. I work with indie artists. As I work with indie artists, our whole budget to work a whole project might be a third of the radio budget not even a third. It might be a fourth of the radio budget for a national campaign. A national radio campaign that's going to be impactful the right way, not bootleg ran by some artist, radio promoter. A real radio, national radio promotion for a record that's going to actually chart and create some income is going to cost at least $600,000 to $700,000.
$600,000 or $700,000. Let me stop the music. Let me stop the music. $600,000 or $700,000.
Yes, sir.
$600,000 or $700,000. Okay.
$600,000 or $700,000 easily. You know, at these FM radio stations,
uh-huh,
you can get your record played. You can get your record played. I have this discussion with folks all the time. So you can get your record played at this FM radio station. I might know a DJ there, and I can get my record played at Hot 107 or 694.5. I can get a record played once or twice. But when you're talking about breaking a record, you're talking about a record getting played 10 to 15 times a week at a minimum on at least 40, 50 stations for at least 8 to 12 weeks. Okay? Now, there's no way to get multiple dozens of radio stations to play your record a dozen times a week without hiring somebody. You got to hire a radio promoter. Now, do you pay the radio station to play your record? Technically, no. You pay the radio promoter, and the radio promoter magically makes it happen. Does the radio promoter pay the radio station? Of course not. It's illegal. It's payola. So you give him the money, and I don't know what he does with it, but you give him the money.
Wait. I can't let you get away with that. No. I can't let you do it. You know fucking great. You know fucking well what he does with it, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what he does. He gives it to the program directors and the other people and the show host, whoever else he greases palms with.
Forgive me, Blizzard. I forgot who I was talking to.
Okay.
We're starting a radio promotion. You have to hire a radio promoter.
Okay.
When you pay him, he then takes your money, and he spends your money with the radio stations accordingly to get your record played.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That's technically illegal, but that's really what happened. And so, when you're talking about doing, let's say you do 30 stations in the Southeast, doing a radio promotion for 30 stations in the Southeast at Urban Radio is going to cost you $35,000 for 4 or 5 weeks. That's just 5 states in the Southeast. So let's think about it. There are 50 states. So just doing the first rollout in the whole 50 states at Urban, just Urban, is going to be $250,000 to $300,000 if you're getting a volume discount just to start the first 4 weeks. You got to re-up to keep it going. So you're going to end up paying another $200,000 for the next 4 weeks. And then you just about in with everything else, because it's not just radio. Along with radio, these guys are going to be doing all different kind of other social media promotions, street promotions. But then after the 8-9 weeks, you got to go in for another buy that's going to cost you another $200,000.
Right.
Over and over, it's a monster that's insatiable. And once you get started with these radio people, you can't stop and start. Start a campaign January the 1st that's supposed to be for 5 weeks. If you don't get them a check by February the 1st for the next 5 weeks, you're dead. You can't take a month off and then go back and buy another month. It don't work that way. You gotta spend right. that money. And so with a record, from the indie side, we might start with a record with a 20K budget, test the record at 20K. After 4 weeks, we might add another 15 stations. That'll be another 35,000. And then if the record is reacting and the artist is getting some show money, we'll expand and try to get us 50, 60 stations and really get us in the top 20 to chart the last buy-in or the third buy-in or be 40 to 45K. That put us right around the 100K range for a radio campaign. And it's very dangerous because sometimes records don't catch on. So when we're doing our first rollout, our first 4 weeks, if the record don't catch, now I'm working with artists of this caliber now. If the record don't catch in the first 4 weeks, we just pull the record and go on to something else. We know that we've been on in 20 locations in 20 cities that we should pick up two or three shows at 7-8K a show, and we'll make the money back for this. Beginning artist is like those artists that run the radio without having the proper street buzz and internet presence. They're always disappointed because they can get played all across the United States and won't make a penny. It's just really, man, it's like a really dirty game. FM radio reaches 97% of the population, great, amazing. There's FM radios in every vehicle on the road, great, amazing. The potential is there to make a lot of money, but just because every superstar is on FM radio, that doesn't mean that Joe Blow, the MC, can get on FM radio and reap those same rewards. It's just a lot more that goes into it than having a song played on the radio.
I asked you that, and I wanted you to break it down because we've had talks about radio and what works and what artists should or shouldn't do, and we've had these kind of discussions on social media. So I wanted to make sure that I asked you that and gave you a chance to say it live on the air on K1's radio. Now, these are things that most people know, but sometimes it's kind of hard to convince an artist of this. Like people will try to make it like no. You can't hit that one lottery lick. I mean, yes, you can, and people can also win the lottery, but how often does it happen? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it does happen. Somebody just catches fire like that, organically like that, and it takes off, and it really can bypass it. It can happen. We've seen it time, but let's just think the chances and the odds. It's like playing.
You can't bank. You can't.
Right.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but like you can't bank on that happening no matter how much you believe in a record, because it's not based on how me or you or our team or our homies or our city likes the record. It's going to ultimately depend on people that we don't even know. And so,
right.
Man, it's so rare, bro. You know, Wendy Day is my wife. She's been in the music industry 25 years. She did all these great record deals. I think she said she worked with – they had one hit record that she worked with for her whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Other records that she worked included songs like Gimme That with Webby, Mr. Ice Cream Man with Master P, just so many different records that ended up having the budget put behind them to become big records. But they weren't naturally organic hit records. Like, the only natural organic hit record I think she said she worked with was Like a Pimp by David Banner.
Okay.
So, and that's in 25 years. This is a woman whose clients have sold over 1 billion records. And she's seen the benefit of having a hit record take off organically one time. So it's not
–
it's something that we can count on. It's something that an artist count on. And it's like – success in the music business is scalable. You don't got to go and run and be on every FM radio station. Like, to work stuff the way Wendy works, it takes six figures. The average artist got nowhere near six figures. But there is a way for them to carve out a niche for themselves and be able to ultimately be competitive with anybody. Well, like, once again, that goes all the way back to when I meet them, telling them to learn how the business works. Because, like, you got artists, let's say, like, and still touching on your radio, with radio, you got artists like Yo Gotti and Rocco, two prime examples. They'll test the record at radio for 25,000, 30,000. If the record don't react right, they'll just go pick up their show money that that those fans generated them, and then they'll go back and try another record in another couple of months. And so an independent artist can do that with an independent artist with a solid fan base of 5,000 people can afford to do that same thing. And when we look at these artists.
You said a key thing, though. You said a solid fan base. You know what I'm saying? Not 5,000 likes on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Not 20,000 Instagram hits. We're talking about a solid fan base of people who will physically support you by coming physically to your shows, by actually physically swiping their card or typing in their number to buy your music. I mean, how do you get to 5,000 fans? I guess that's a better question, because all of this stuff that we're talking about right now, That's so far out of reach for these artists. Let's just talk about how do you get to 5,000 real fans. I will take a call. Someone's got a question. Let me take a call. All right. Area code 770-255. Welcome to K100 Radio. What's up?
What's good, Blizzard? Let's say one, man. What's poppin'?
Oh, what's going on, bro? What's happening? What's poppin'?
Ain't nothing much, man. Yeah, I got a question for Tony. I've been watching Wendy Days' wife podcast, YouTube stuff on video that she gave out great information and stuff like that. So, and I saw the one they did together too was really dope. It took a lot of juice from that one. You know what I'm saying? But one question I want to ask as well is that as far as you know, instead of doing would it be more feasible just as an independent artist? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to run my own record label. But as a, you know, would it be more feasible or make sense just to do an in-state campaign, radio campaign? I mean, do it in-state, like you start with Florida. If you live in Florida, for example, and then you start just in Florida. Or do you start like, okay, we can start like in four cities and then work our way up. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense to do it like that.
I mean, I'm gonna tell you this: when you're talking about running an in-state campaign for radio, you run the risk of not having people know who you are just because you're on the radio. So your first step before you advance to radio, even in your state or in the region of your state, first of all, in Florida, getting consistent radio play is very, very, very hard. The majority of the radio stations are owned by either Clear Channel, iHeart, or Radio 1. So it's very hard to get a consistent radio play in a state like Florida. But in any state, independent artist is best served by spending their initial money to these markets and meeting people face-to-face and interacting with people. This all comes before the doing the radio. When you're going to work a record, like this is how I like to describe it, first, you got to touch the streets. You got to go all through the streets. And I call that pouring gas in the streets. You pour gas in the streets, you go from block to block, city to city. You put up your posters, you hand out cards. We in the South, so CDs still do work. You do some work with CDs. If you can't afford a bunch of CDs, you do business cards with your music link on them and things of that nature. Maybe you do some giveaways, some Spotify subscription giveaways and stuff like this, and you go city to city to city, and you touch as many people as you can within this radius that you can touch in a couple of hours around your city, okay? And it's really you pouring gas in the street. And the song that you release, a couple of extra songs on it that you're promoting, and you're going to be able to watch and see how the people react to your music, because you're dealing directly with the people. You're not skipping the streets to try to jump to the radio DJ. You're not skipping the streets to try to jump to the club DJ. You're dealing strictly with the streets. If the streets, as a rapper, if the streets reject your record, then it's going to be hard for it to break out, okay? So you're dealing strictly with the streets. You're city to city, pouring gas in the street. And if the record starts to react in a way where you see people gravitating towards it, then you can figure out if you want to go to radio. And when you do go to radio, that's when you light the match. And you set the streets on fire. But you can't set the streets on fire without laying the gas down first.
Gotcha.
Let me ask
you. All right,
appreciate the call, Sam Wise. Let me ask you this though. I gotta rewind back to something that you just said. And then you said it and you said it and then you added a a pen note, though. You said that, and this is something else that me and you have actually talked about on social media. So I'm trying to make sure every time you bring up something that I know that we've debated about, I try to stop and say, hold on, we got to talk about this right here. So let's talk about CD.
Okay.
You said we still in the South, so CDs still work. Do you me personally, I totally just you said now after that you said give out some Spotify subscriptions. I'm like, now that sounded like a great idea. CDs so much, again, we've had this discussion a lot. I don't know how much sense it makes right now in 2017 to invest money in buying physical CDs to give out to people. But you obviously you said in the South, you said in the South that it makes sense.
Right.
Still. Why?
Right. Well, and let's check this out. I'm gonna have a Rain Man conversation with you because I really
okay.
love numbers. All right. So I take when I'm working with an artist, I always suggest that we do CDs. Okay. CDs for me are a 30-cent marketing tool. All right. They cost 30 cents. The sleeve, the insert, and the CD itself with the print on it cost me 30 cents. So
mm-hmm.
I get 10,000 of them, $3,000, okay? And what this is card, it's a flyer, it's a mini poster all in one, and it's your music. So we got 150 million cars on the street with CD players still in them. So even if people are gravitating away from CDs are still the number two moneymaker. More money is made selling CDs than digital downloads now. Streaming is the number one form of income. Second is hard copy. And third is digital downloads. Okay? So the demise of the CD is apparent. It's obvious. It's coming. Everything is going digital. You won't need to own your music in the next few years. But today, right now today, if you pull up at the local barbershop, and there's 20 people in there, 15 of them got CD players in their car, and they got CDs on their visor or in a door handle or wherever.
Do they
right
listen to them,
today,
though? The question is, I guess the question for me is, they really actually take those CDs and now I can agree with you on the fact that at the end of the day, they're still seeing your image, your whatever image that you got on your cover. They're still hearing your name. They still have a tangible product that they can hold in their hand to, you know, remember you after the fact, after the meeting. I agree. But what I've just noticed now lately is that people are just taking them, but they're not really popping them in and riding to them. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
They're just
And that happens. That happens. And so this is what we do with the 10,000 that we get. The 10,000 CDs cost us $3,000. We're going to pass out 8,000 to 9,000 of them, okay? We're going to take 1,000 of them. We're going to spend an extra $100. We're going to buy the hard cases for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we do meet and greets, another promo events, listening parties, merch launches, we're going to have the artist sign these and add these. When we do shows, we're going to have the artist sign these and we actually sell these to people. And to the fans, they're memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying? So now, at $3,000 for 10,000 CDs, I only need to sell 600 of them at $5 to get my money back. So it's something that I can do. If I'm going city to city, if I'm touching 15, 20 cities, then I need to sell 30 CDs in every city once I have a buzz. And wherever I go for a show, then when I sign them, and put them in a special case, I can use them as an incentive gift to an influencer like a DJ or a PD and things of that nature. So, like, we always find a way. Every dollar that we spend on the campaigns that I work on is an investment and not an expense. Every dollar is spent with how do we get our money back and make a profit in mind. So, with artists I worked with in the past, we might have did 10,000 CDs. And didn't make a penny. And we did another 10,000 and didn't make a penny. But when we do our second 10,000, that means that the project has some legs. Like, because people call me. It may seem strange, but people call me every day. There's somebody listening to you right now. Christina Reed right now is waiting for a box of CDs from me in South Carolina right now. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
She's waiting for them to pass them out in Camden, South Carolina, where there is a demand for these physical CDs. How can I say this? And I ain't got to be politically correct. Man,
now, here you
go. In the urban community, we behind. Okay? Overall in music, you know and I know, the focus should be on streaming, digital radio stations, getting play on these multiple digital radio stations. You get way more bang for the buck, and focus on getting your streaming numbers up, owning your masters. That's your money. That's today's music industry. The urban music business is behind because the urban customer is behind. So there's still a big market for CDs when you're talking about urban music. Because when you go look at an artist like Taylor Swift, where she sold 1 million copies, 600,000 of those were hard copies. And the other 400,000 were either streaming equivalent or digital downloads. So there's still a big market for hard copy CDs. It's dwindling every day, but there's still a place for them and a market for them. It's always going to be that dude in your neighborhood or these cats in your neighborhood that they're not hip to Spotify. They got a GoPro phone.
Huh? Yeah. I understand that. I will agree that.
I agree.
It's literally the reason why something like K100 Radio can only get so big right now. Period. You feel what I'm saying? Like, there's only going to be so many people that can have smartphones that can actually stream this live with unlimited data. Who has a plan with unlimited data, has a phone, who lives in the area with 4G. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You cutting out a large demographic of the population of my target audience just off sheer accessibility, which is of course the barrier that we have with FM radio. Like, there's the barrier, there's the car, and then there's the internet. You feel what I'm saying? And that
right.
barrier that limits right. us is the reason why we can't literally come through here and just take over shit, because it's not always
right.
it's not even a content, it's about accessibility. So I understand that particular point. You feel me? When
yeah.
we're talking about, we can say urban
right.
community, we can say black folks,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You feel me? Especially out in the country, you know what I'm saying? They're still riding around in their box Chevys
yeah.
with CD plates. So yeah, I get that. The independent artist, here's my thing. The independent artist who only has so much money as it is, so you're talking like that $3,000 may be all the average indie artists have, if they have that. So when I was
okay.
talking about it on Facebook, I was saying it from a mind frame of I'm realistically thinking to myself, how much money does an indie really have? You know, and how much money of his budget should he be spending to that particular medium where he could be using it for this over here to try and, you know, get to a conversation that I want to circle back to, and we're going to play some music before we go. But I want to circle back to just getting your first 1,000 or 5,000 fans. How are we going to get those people, and what lanes and what ways should an independent artist whose total budget altogether may be $3,000 at tax time? You know what I'm saying?
He got a way though. Indie artist with a $1,500 paycheck from the taxes. Maybe his baby mama gonna chuck him a grand to get his rap thing going. All right. If he got nothing, but he got his music done, because the creation of the music is a big expense that often gets overlooked. The creation, the mixing and mastering
right.
of the music, studio time, the production get overlooked. But once you got that done, and you want to try to get the music heard, and you got a budget though, so you can't do the CDs right now. You don't have the money to do the CDs, or you don't see where it really benefits you. You're 17, 18. None of your friends listen to CDs. Y'all all streaming your music. Cool. Get you some business cards. Get you a bunch of business cards. They ain't got to have your real name on them. They need to have your artist name and the link to your music. Spotify here, Pandora there, what have you. Okay, definitely SoundCloud. A little known fact, SoundCloud is bigger than Pandora, Spotify, and Apple Music put together. So,
right.
Yeah. So you're gonna start with your business card, and you're gonna perfect your pitch. If you're an artist, you don't got a lot of money. You got to have a lot of heart, a lot of hustle. You got to be outgoing. You got to be personable. What you're gonna do is whatever kind of music you make, whether you're the hardcore gangster, whether you're kind of like Kendrick or J. Cole, whether you make backpack type rap, whether you're a black conscious artist, you're gonna go out with your business cards. You're gonna go to the places where the people that listen to and like your kind of music congregate. Wherever it is, wherever you like to hang out, whether it's the laundromat in the project, whether it's the barbershop, whether it's the college campus, whether it's the mall, and you're gonna go out and you're gonna start approaching people, even at the gas station. And I set a goal. I try to have artists set a goal. Try to approach 100 people a day. And it's like, man, how am I approaching 100 people a day? You walk past 100 people a day. Just on your average every day doing whatever you do. If you went to get something to eat today, if you passed by the park, if you pumped some gas, if you ate at McDonald's, whatever you did, you passed 100 people today. Now, all of these 100 people may not fit to a profile because I profile people the same way the police profile us black folk, I profile. If I'm working a hardcore street artist and I see a dude with his pants sagging, I'm stepping to him. What up, bro? You listen to rap? Check this out. You understand what I'm saying? If I see a chick with cornrows, I'm profiling folks. She might love rock and roll. I'm going to look at her and be like, okay, she got cornrows. She like rap. Hey, what's up? Check this out. Check out this link when you get a chance. And look, hold up. Also, you with me right quick? Let me take a picture with you right quick. I'm going to put this on my social media, bro. I'm going to tag you. What's your info? What's your snap? And I'm really collecting information, but I'm giving them a shout-out. A person is not going to deny themselves a shout-out because everybody wants to seem important. So as
right.
an artist, you're moving around. You're catching the chubby girl. You're catching the chick that don't really look that good. You're catching the dude with the scuffy sneakers that look like he just come from work, like he changed the grease at Church's Chicken. But you can't pass these people up. These are the people that will make you a star, the average everyday people. It's cool that you know Ron Blizzum Blue, that you're cool with Blizzum at K100. That's amazing. But Blizzum can only do so much for you based on what you do for yourself. So you got to get out here and you got to get to the people, the average everyday people that can really change your life. And you got to interact with them, make them seem important, touch them every day. Every day, 100 people, 100 people, okay. Maybe you can't do 100 people. Maybe that seems too big a number. Let's say you do 50. Now, 50 people, if you got great music, if you got a good pitch, you should be able to get 5 of those people to check out your music. Okay? So if you got 50 people a day, you get 5 of them to check out your music. Your music is amazing. Let's say you get 2 of them to stick. All right? In 6 months, you're going to have 100 fans. It's like, oh, man, that's too long. 6 months, man, wow. Man, you got to be in this for the long haul. You got to keep working. If you want it to happen faster, you got to reach more people. So maybe you got your girl. Maybe you got your partner that's going to help you. Maybe you're starting off and your producer going to work with you, and y'all both going to go out, and y'all going to reach 75 people apiece, 75 people that y'all each reach. 8 people check out your music, and 3 of them like it. So that's doing that times 2, that's 6 people a day. So in 160 days, you're going to have 1,000 fans. Once you got 1,000 fans, then you start selling your merch. With 1,000 fans, selling them $100 of merch over the course of the year is going to make you $100K. You ain't even got to get out of kindergarten to be able to do this. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to do this. You just got to have some consistency of effort and desire. You got to be personal with people. You got to have the charisma. You got to have great music, and you can't never stop. You got to wake up every day with it on your mind. If you're going to work out at Planet Fitness, then you're going to hit up the people that's in your age bracket. You're going to pass by a person if they bumping some rap in their earphones. You're going to notate them. You're not going to interrupt their workout. But as soon as they're trying to head to their car, you're running them down with this business card. You got to be relentless, tenacious with reaching out to new people and exposing them to what you're doing. There's no money. All it takes is effort and heart and consistency. You can get 10,000 business cards for a couple hundred bucks. You can find a couple hundred bucks. If you can't find a couple hundred bucks, you can find a special where you get 1,000 business cards for $20. You got to got to have $20 for your career. You're smoking weed, you're drinking liquor, you're in the club. So I know you got $20.
Yeah. Oh, they all, they got $20. They got $30. They got, you know, they got plenty. Ultimately, this is gonna go. This is gonna boil down to, you know what I'm saying, your thought process, your mentality. How bad do you want it? You feel me? You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, and this is basic. This is basic stuff that no one can teach you. No one can teach you that. Like, you have to actually literally be born with a certain amount of this. You feel me? Unfortunately, right. You know what I'm saying? You know, actually, no, right. I take that back. Fortunately, you can't buy it. Yeah. Fortunately, you can't buy it. Because then we have a lot of motherfuckers who really don't deserve it in the game. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So, fortunately, you have to literally be born with, you know what I'm saying, in order for it to work.
Right.
All right, we're coming up on, I'm coming up on my damn mark, man. So I got to make sure we get some of the music. We know that you rocking with Trub, you know what I'm saying? And you know, tell us about what's going on with him real quick. And I'm going to run one of these songs before we get ready to get up out of here, the joint that you sent me.
All
right. What's going on? What y'all got popping with him? Go ahead.
I'm going to keep this quick as possible. You know, I've been working with Trub right around 2 years. A great and amazing artist. He was a great and amazing artist before I met him. We stayed down grinding. Ran through a couple hundred thousand hard copy CDs in the streets, really pushing. He caught a buzz last year with the Ready record. We ended up doing some shows. We dropped a critically acclaimed mixtape in May of 2016 called Schoolzilla. He's been embraced by a lot of different artists. And so now most recently, Mike Will pulled up. Him and Mike Will worked on a big project. Down the line, Drake heard a record that he really liked. Drake jumped on the record. We just shot the video for that record, and that should be out sometime within the next month or so. So don't drop in February, will in March. It's the song that we believe and is going to really propel him to the next level and put him on the status with all of the major label artists. And this is a kid who doesn't have a hidden record label deal. This is a kid who's 100% independent. We started this stuff with. He didn't have nothing when we started. Like, neither one of us really had nothing. We went and found a couple of dollars. Got somebody, people to believe in us, and we've been pushing ever since. Paid back the majority of the people who loaned us some money to get stuff popping, and now we're in a position to really cash in with this Drake record. And let me say this one last thing. Out of all the songs Trouble has ever done, all the songs on every one of the last of his albums and mixtapes that had a major feature, from Gucci Mane to Future to Fetty Wap to Thug to whoever, we never paid for a feature, ever.
All right. So don't go nowhere, but we're getting ready to run this real quick, and I'll come back and we'll close out. This is Trouble.
That's the best.
Who you kidding? Right here on K100.
Who you got?
Don't go nowhere. We're going to come right back, and we're going to close out with the homie, The Connect, OG. All right, Tony Gidgey. This joint right here, man. Trouble. Who you kidding? Right here on K100 Radio.
Yeah.
Ain't no set trip. No. Go, I'm gonna do that bitch and grip. No. Dog, I went and did that shit for a bitch. Yeah. My love. OG, no smoke. My love. No.
you can.
Make me pull up on your window.
Make me miss
on your bitch.
Pull up on your bitch, I had a coupe tripping. Beat that Bentley beats like hell, new edition. Ayy.
Niggas out here dropping down.
Dropping down. How you ain't on me, I try to let you shine. That's just like a nigga, I ain't a air time. Tim, I'm lying. Turn out be your bitch to pick up air time. Tim, I'm lying.
You are tuned to the K100 Radio, Hip Hop and R&B.
And we're back, K100 Radio. I'm your host, Vision. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. All right, we still over here getting ready to wrap this thing up. We was chopping it up with the homie, the Connect, the homie Tony Guidry, man.
Yo.
We dropped some jewels on the people. You know what I'm talking about, man. He told us a lot of stuff. And I hope you guys had a chance to check this out. If you did miss any of it, we'll put the audio on SoundCloud, of course. And we'll also this Facebook Live is gonna stay up. I ain't gonna delete it. You know, he'll delete his shit. He'll tell y'all
it's
some
good
shit.
Bro, like,
I delete that shit. Nigga, I pay for that now. Fuck that. You know what I'm saying? But we gonna leave these sitting up there on Facebook Live, and we also gonna put them on YouTube. You feel what I'm saying? So shout out to the homie, man. Any parting words you want to get to people? Any parting words you want to give of advice or anything you want to say before we get ready to close this one out?
Okay, I'm not going to take too long, man. Once upon a time, I read a book by an NFL player called How to Be a Rich Nigga. I read this book many, many, many years ago. And he said the keys to success were ambition, motivation, perseverance, and hustle. So you got to want it. You got to have a reason why you want it. You got to fight through it to get it, and you can't never stop working. And so in the music business, more than anything, that's a requirement. Nobody's interested in the crybaby artist. You really got to get out there and get it. If it's too hard for you, quit. Go dig ditches or fix air conditioners or something. So, but other than that, man, if you really want it, you can't have it. There's no denying it for you. If your talent is slacking, you can develop it into a better way. If you're shy, you can become more outgoing, whatever it takes to do. Just do what you got to do to be successful. Make less excuses and make more moves, and you'll see some progress in what you're trying to do.
Less excuses. All righty then. That was it, man. Shout out to my homie. We finally got a chance to chop it with my homie, man, Tony Guidry over here, the Connect, man. Of course, we're going to love. Of course, you can catch us on each other's post on Facebook every now and again. Talk about what the fuck. What? Nah, son. We ain't fucking saying. We ain't going to see eye to eye with that. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? All the time in the most respectful way, because we understand that each other have an understanding and a knowledge of what's going on. And we just don't always agree on methods. But it's always
right.
Respectful and knowledgeable. I believe that a lot of our debates online shed a lot of light on stuff for some of these people who don't know better, especially when we disagree.
Yeah. Because everybody's going to see. I think one thing to be taken about from our debates on social media, I think everybody should just understand, is that actually when you stop and think about it, every time you talk to this person or this star or whatever, if you notice, there's never one story that's the same. Like, everybody's got their way or something that they did that got them there. Like, there is a chance that you can hit the radio lottery with a song without actually kicking out $600,000. It happens. It doesn't happen often. It can't. Everybody's path is different. Everybody's method is different. But I think unless I feel like someone's giving out some really just ridiculous, like, what are you talking about type shit, you know what I'm saying? I pretty much be like, that's where I'm just like, hey, look, man, yeah, now you're lying to the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're all out lying to them. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference between looking at things and like, if we disagree on whether an artist should get CDs or not, that's different, because actually, you can or you can't, and you can get success either way. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but when I feel like
I
say what now?
I said, yeah, you can make it work either way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I really just kind of just like, when people tell people stuff that's just not true at all, and that can really fuck them up, you know what I'm saying? That's when I'll step in and be like, hold on, nah, hell no. You know, and then that's when some people, you know what I'm saying, kind of get in their feelings when you try to say, no, that's just literally not true. that's not actually true, you know what I'm saying? Then that's kind of a bit. But most of our stuff is all facts. It's just that you like that method more than I like this method. But we've seen both of them be successful. But it's great. It's great fodder. It's great for you know, it's great for people to learn from. You know what I'm saying? And I love having them with people like you, because again, I know you know what you're talking about, and it's a mutual respect. So a lot of times I've noticed that people look at the post and just decipher what it is they want, and hopefully they do the same thing with this interview. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And listen to it, and listen to it, and gain something from it. You know what I mean?
Right. And I can tell you, I preface everything I say with this. I guarantee you that my advice will not hurt you. There is nothing that I suggest for an artist to do that's going to destroy your career.
Exactly. So
if you take it with a grain of salt, or if you take it as gospel, if you try it and it doesn't work for you, it may not. But I guarantee you, you won't be farther back than when you started.
Exactly. That's pretty much all you can ask. Because if there was a 2 + 2 = 4 way of becoming a star, everybody would be a fucking star now, wouldn't they? Right.
Everybody would be one. Everybody.
Exactly. All right, man. Thank you for rocking out with us over here at K100 Radio. We're getting ready to get up out of here, man. Again, big ups to my homie, Tony. Get you the connect. Make sure you connect with him. Rock with him, you know what I'm saying? And make sure you check out his artist Troubles Music. He's doing big things right now. He's getting booked for shows. You know what I'm saying? If he reaches out to you to book you for a show, and then, you know what I'm saying, you get on your high horse and say no, don't call him back a couple of days later and shit. Tell us, can we get that? They probably ain't going to call for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. There we go. But, yeah, man, have me back soon, Blizzard, bro. I always love talking to you, bro, man. Have me back soon, bro. Like, I really like sharing, you know, the insight that I gained, because I've been learning the game myself over the last few years. And, it's always good to chop it with somebody that got a good understanding of what's going on, bro. So, you know, I'm looking forward to coming back.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. All right, man. We get ready to get up out of here, man. You know, we got Wednesday, DJ L Boogie coming up right now at 7:00. So a little bit from now, DJ L Boogie checking in live representing Houston. Houston is going to be on fire this motherfucking weekend, but I'm going to be my ass over here in Atlanta, because Atlanta going to be turned too. Everybody ain't going to be able to make it out there. So the ones who can't, it's going to be live over here in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be lots of parties. I know I'm going to a party. You guys be safe out there. You know what I'm talking about?
Anybody going to be in Houston, man, if you're going to be in Houston, come rock with us at Club Panda Friday, bro. Trouble Live at Club Panda Friday in Houston. The Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
ATL,
you're going to be out there in the city doing it then. Y'all going to be living it up, man. That's what's up.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. All right, we out of here. Fuck with us, man. You know what I'm saying? We still got it. Still one of my songs I like. Kind of old to rappers, not to real music lovers. All right, we out.
Fuck with me, you know I got it. Fuck with me, you know I got it. Sexy bitch, I hope she got it. Come fuck with me, you know I got it. Fuck with me, you know I got it. Fuck with me, you know I got it. Sexy bitch, I hope she got it. Come fuck with me, you know I got it. I just landed in Europe, nigga. Yeah. Shopping bags, I'm a tourist, nigga. Money talk, I speak fluent, nigga. Reeboks on, I just do it, nigga.
All right, IG.
Look at me, I'm pure, nigga.
Y'all be easy out there.
I bet the hoes on my tour, nigga. I don't bop, I do the money dance. My bitch whips, cause 100 grand. Red bird, you see me slide. Sexy bitch, I hope she bout it. Sexy bitch, I know she bout it. Fuck with me, you know I got it. Fuck with me, you know I got it. Fuck with me, you know I got it. Sexy bitch, I hope she bout it. Come fuck with me, you know I got it. Fuck with me.
fuck with me, you know I got it. Take a bitch, I hope she fight it. Come fuck with me, you know I got it.
Yep. Hope slandered in Rome, nigga.
Yep.
All hell Caesar's home, niggas.
Yep.
Chin Don, child fella.
Yep.
Come money dance with the good fellas. Ho, keep getting that dinero, got it. Even if a nigga got a ride, get it. Blackjack in the cup, see? No, a nigga got unlimited credit. A nigga got a lot of vendettas. But we the black mom, we gon' set it. Peeled off in a Lamborghini cone tie. 200 in the dash, we gonna rev it. Lucky Luciano, it's what they call me, Paisano. 100 keys at the piano, place across the Verrazano. El Pino, in a villa in Venice and Bambino. Not bad for Muliano, y'all know, like we know. I got it. Fuck me, you know I got it. Fuck me, you know I got it. Bad bitch, I hope she got it. Fuck me, you know. Fuck me, you know I got it. Fuck me, you know I got it. Bad bitch, I hope she got it. Bad bitch, I know she got it.
I'm Ryan Big, coming down that beat. Teach a nigga with satin sheets. Bad bitch, she a masterpiece. Got a bad bitch, she a masterpiece.
Walk with you.